Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, and you rolling with us on a wild card game day here in the great seat of Houston is the Houston Texans. Did you see the people send them off at NRG Stadium yesterday?
I did. Yeah.
Them off to Pittsburgh, including the buses, all three of them rolling and leaving. One mascot Hall of Famer, Toro, holding his bags. Did you see that?
Yeah.
This team, man, they've gotten really good at the social media aspects of
this. We forgot something.
Toro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing that maybe he and Davis Mills linked up and they flew together to get to Pittsburgh.
Probably not.
You don't think so?
Yeah. I don't think Toro's on the list.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. But, yeah.
He's not welcome in other stadiums.
You don't think so?
Oh, God, no. How many times have you seen a opposing team's mascot?
They should let him in. He should sneak in. He should get a ticket and just be in the stands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. By the way, it's only ramping up by the minute, isn't it? I'm getting more.
You're getting more antsy.
Yeah.
How are we feeling out there?
I got kind of, obviously we came into the show. We were all talking about how it kind of hits you and you get more excited. And now I'm like, all right.
I think I'm pretty calm, man.
It's 12:03.
Oh, but the day has moved pretty quickly towards it. I'm excited about that because I just want to watch this football already. Mm-hmm. But I'm not antsy. I'm pretty mellow about this. Yeah, yeah. This game does not give me trepidation.
But you didn't live in Houston for a while, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I just got a pit in my stomach for some reason.
You do?
Reason.
Yeah. Yeah, where I'm just like a nervous pit.
But it can be good energy.
It can be good, too.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for the game. Like, once the game starts, then you can kind of relax a little bit.
And I just realized, like, they're all important. Playoff games, you know, legacy games and all that stuff, whether you're a coach or a player or whatever, especially a quarterback. But we all, like, this is important, just the way it's lining up. You know, not just the way the Texans have played, especially defensively, but it's the Steelers.
It's wide open, man. Or at least in the AFC, it's wide open.
That's another part of it. It's wide open.
Things are laying out the way that you would hope, I imagine.
Can you imagine? I'm going to channel John. Could you imagine?
Not bad. That's a solid 8.
Could you imagine if the Texans beat the Steelers? Exercise all those demons, you know, from way back when, and it's the Steelers, and then you already know what the next opponent's going to be.
Yeah, and on the text line, we got a Patriots fan being like, "Nah, y'all got it." Like, if the Texans face off against the Patriots and go there, there's at least one Patriots fan that is convinced that it is the Texans win.
No, I think he's talking about the Steelers game. Y'all got it.
No,
oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. They're saying, like, if you get past this one, the Patriots do not stand a chance.
And looking at
that is for us to talk about later.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, looking at the Patriots last night, I feel more confident about that game than I do this game.
Their defense did look pretty good. Their defense did look pretty good. But, like, again, let's just lay it out. Steelers tonight, exercising demons, different franchise, different time. I get it, but it matters in this city. Then you go to the Patriots.
I think it matters to certain portions of the city. I'm not trying to, ignore them. I think that would be cool.
It's part of our legacy. It's part of our heartbreak.
Yes, I think that'd be as a little cherry on top. And that could be a cleanser of sorts, right?
Yeah,
we talk about these vibes that you're feeling and, you know, the anxieties. And let me know, 713-572-4610, what you're doing for that.
Playoff heartbreak.
Yeah, but that's for the future. And
then potentially Buffalo.
Right. That could be really fun to go through those. But I really could want to feel that for the people in Houston that football-wise have had just a dark cloud hanging over them, and there's not been anything to do with it. It's just kind of sat there.
Mm-hmm.
Can this be something that clears out the cobwebs on that? That'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's one of the biggest questions to answer that could be answered tonight.
I got questions.
All right, let's do them.
I got questions for you, too. Let's go through them. Because I think it's sort of good to sort of preview the game as well. Who has the edge in a one-possession game? It's a one-possession game.
Ooh.
Who has the edge? They can both make a pretty strong argument. Pittsburgh, obviously.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm going to say as of recent, I'm going to give the edge to the Houston Texans.
How come?
Because the Steelers, they had a one-point, up a point?
Or just a one-possession game.
One-possession game.
Yeah.
You're going back to the de facto AFC North Championship game, Week 18?
I'm going to that. I'm going to the Browns game before that because they were down. They needed a touchdown, and they couldn't get that. So I feel like the Houston Texans have the wait for this, Reggie, the momentum. I think they have a little more momentum.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. So I think they got the edge on that.
What do you think?
I think I lean towards, I think you make a good point that we've seen the Steelers team recently against lesser caliber teams, although the Browns would be an interesting kind of, you know, comparison because mm-hmm. that is a really, really good defense with great pass rush that the Steelers have not been able to get things done. And as much as the Texans offense has been frustrating, they have found ways to finish mm-hmm. of late. Has it been pretty? No.
Yeah.
But that's not the question here. I think that there's a level of get it done that exists in a better way on the Texas side. Plus, especially with the addition of seeing Jaden Higgins get a little bit of love, seeing Dalton Schultz be a viable weapon that you can go to. Clearly, Nico Collins is the obvious one that I did not mention there, but he's obviously number one in your mind. And then what are the chances that they might even sneak in Jalen Noel in there at times to add a different flair, especially in an instance where the other team is not thinking about that guy because you've not utilized him a lot. So maybe that is a little bit of a little joker that you throw out there that they're not expecting. I think that you have more of those than the Steelers do just leaning on the Aaron Rodgers and his accuracy in his arm.
Well, and hop in on Twitch and YouTube with your comments and 713-572-4610. That's one question. And I wish maybe that explains kind of the pit in my stomach, the uncertainty. Because I don't know. The Steelers can make a strong argument. Monday night, at home, in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers. They've got DK Metcalf coming back. But the Texans can make a hell of a good argument. You know, the best defense in the league, turnovers, maybe the best kicker in the league at this moment. So, to me, that's something of a, well, I guess we'll find out.
I didn't even add the kicker to this. Yeah, Chris Boswell has been a little dicey kicking the football. He's had some misses. Hell, he had misses in Week 18 that made that game unnecessarily interesting, even though it took a Tyler Lue miss on the field, which actually we should talk about that portion of it.
Yeah.
The field, that's not a pretty field turf there at Acrisure Stadium.
It's part of what, weighs into the whole kicking discussion. I got another question for you. I got a few more actually. So the game changer, the wide receiving game changer. Who has the edge?
The wide receiving game changer?
Yeah, who has the edge? Nico Collins or DK Metcalf?
I'm biased. I'm going to say Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a level of I also have a belief in one, he's shown the capability of being the 50-50 ball guy an additional level this year. I think that they have had such a beautiful connection on in-breakers and crossers, minus maybe a couple of drops early on in the season. And the additional part of this, which again, I'll come back to the thing that I would love to see is Higgins going off. He's done such a great job of bending defenses, and they're starting to get a lot better at using him to help bend defenses and create openings for others. And I wonder how much that goes with DK Metcalf, although he ends up being of great importance to what they do. The other guys that they have alongside him, I feel like, aren't going to be as much of playmakers or shouldn't be as much of playmakers even with him on the field.
Yeah, I agree with Reggie. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Nico Collins.
I mean, that is a seventh in votes of all pro wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I would trust Nico. Although
I do think DK Metcalf.
6'4", 230 or whatever he is.
DK Metcalf being back, that's a big, that's going to be a big difference, man. Yeah.
It will be.
I wouldn't look at the last couple Steelers games as like, oh, that's what they are.
Yeah.
You got DK Metcalf back, man. That's going to make a big difference for him.
Big, fast dude. All right. Which run game controls the game?
I think it's the Steelers. I would love to tell you the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Steelers, especially because those guys also do a great job out of the backfield. I think they have all of these concerns that they create, and that offensive line is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? I think that we haven't talked a lot about that portion of it. And also, it's one of the reasons why I'm not sold on the, oh, here's going to be five sacks from the Texans defense. Those edges, those tackles are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, I think the pressure will still be there, and I think that that's the real operative portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the run game, the only thing that gives me a little pause on the Steelers is they like outside zone. They like doing those things, and reaching the edges is going to be tough when you have the likes of Daniil and Will working those edges. Plus, the linebackers are really good at fire triggering and getting there.
Yeah.
I love to see the likes of EJ Speed, the likes of obviously Henry Toto, and then you add in the de facto linebacker of Jalen Petrie, and then your cornerbacks aren't afraid to come up and lay hits. Getting out to the edges are not going to be the easiest thing for running backs on this team. So, but I do think that this run, they have two of them that operate in that way. And I think that you're more leaning on just Woody Marks and what you're capable of doing, plus the idea of, is this offensive line going to get the right push versus the three-man interior of a 3-4 defense,
Biggie?
Or 3-5 defense, rather.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers probably had the advantage with the run game. And like Reggie said, they got two running backs that they rely on heavily. So I'm going to roll with that.
I think the Steelers' run game is good. My thing that gives the Steelers the edge here, we don't even know what Nick Chubb's going to do.
We
have no idea. And Juwan Jordan's out. Who would have thought we'd be like missing Juwan Jordan at the beginning of the year? But right now it's Woody Marks. You know?
Yeah.
it's Woody Marks.
Yeah.
All right. Which coach has the edge managing this game?
Ugh. That's rough.
Could come down to it.
They've both had their issues.
We've talked
about
it all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've both had their issues.
And I say Aaron Rodgers? or at least on the offensive side.
You might. Yeah. You might. Can I call it a wash? Can I call it a push?
Yeah.
I think that might be some of this year. I think we've made it very clear. I'm not very confident in the ways that they've decided to go about game management at times, and especially not confident in consistency within it.
Yeah.
I think that they go all sorts of different ways, and that's part of why you've heard the noise get loud on Mike Tomlin is the management of games as well. I don't know that there's either of these teams looks great, but I think also you can spin that forward as a positive in that you're not giving up a clear advantage to the other side in that way. But yeah, that's always been an annoyance because there's instances where did you lose points because you operated in a certain way at the end of the half? Did you lose an opportunity because you weren't the right amount of aggressive in certain instances? All of these things, or you didn't use your timeouts properly. Mm-hmm. All those things, I don't think that would lose you this game, but once we go on in the playoffs, I think that's conversations that we have to have.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's Pittsburgh on this one, man, because you got Mike Tomlin. You can feel how you want to feel about Mike Tomlin. But also, you got Aaron Rodgers running the offense.
Yeah,
man.
I think that's the deciding factor. I'm with you.
I know I was joking around saying, can I say Aaron Rodgers? But I think that's a big part of it, man.
No, I think that is the slight edge. And really, home field might be a factor.
Yeah.
The Texans haven't really had a bad bout with false starts or getting to the line, getting out of the huddle and all that.
Got to remember, how was the KC game? Because that's really that's the last game that you had in real adverse territory.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had an illegal shift in that game, but I don't know that I'd look at that as being kind of environment-based.
Mm-hmm.
There was a face mask, but that's not something I would point to. There were some false starts that happened in there, so maybe that's something that you could have some concerns about. But it's not like the last time that you were in an adverse environment, you crumbled under pressure, but you have to make sure that doesn't come out of nowhere, because it felt like over the last couple of years with this team, you feel like you've knocked down that whack-a-mole and then it pops back up out of nowhere.
Which quarterback faces the biggest challenge? Now, let me.
Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers.
You think it's Aaron
Rodgers? Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The style of play that they typically play is one that does not go well against what is going to be the best unit in all of this game, that defense. And one of the things that we've talked about, and you're going to need to take shots. You've heard Mike Tomlin himself say it in his availability. They're going to need their shots. That's not an easy thing to do, both with the pressure that is going to come from this front line and then the fantastic coverage that happens on the back end. There's been a number of times where the pressures or the sacks on the front line have been actually coverage generated. And so that's a rough shot for Aaron Rodgers, who is going to have to change his whole MO of the season of not wanting to get hit just to make some of that happen.
Yeah, I think it's Aaron Rodgers, too. I think C.J. Stroud, as crazy as it sounds, as much as I want him to take over, I don't think this game, I don't think they are relying on C.J. Stroud to carry the team on his shoulders to win. I think they can win with C.J. making the right plays. But Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to have to carry this team.
I'm with you. I think with you both, I think Aaron Rodgers faces the biggest challenge, but it's not without challenges for C.J. Stroud.
No.
Including, self-imposed challenges offensively and what they want him to do and expect him to do, and being on the road again and, good defense. They're not facing a bunch of schmucks on their edge rushers either.
Pursuant to that, this is a Steelers defense that has created some turnovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think comes out in the turnover battle?
Oh, I love the Texans in that.
You do?
I just because of what they've been doing all season long, and I think that's part of the biggest challenge with Aaron Rodgers. All right, one more. Who wins the red zone?
I'm going to say the Steelers.
If they get there, my mind goes Steelers. I realize actually that I have not done much looking at how they actually handle the red zone, how good they are in the red zone. But just anecdotally, knowing that they run the ball decently, that they have the opportunity to pass the ball out of the backfield, mm-hmm. and that Aaron Rodgers has been pretty pinpoint accurate, I would think that. Although also they liked using the likes of like Darnell Washington, yep. and I wonder yep. how those tight ends come in. Now they're not going to be able to
go talk about big dudes.
Yeah, they're not going to go to 13 personnel, but they might go to 12 a decent amount, yeah. putting Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth out there, and that creates some interesting things. In fact, I go back to the Cardinals game where they used some big personnel in order to get Damone Clark out there versus Trey McBride. You remember where you're like, well, who the hell is this guarding Trey McBride? Yeah. Because they got linebackers out there because they had big personnel.
Right.
Those are the things that I think are available to the Steelers that might make them more viable in the red zone.
Yeah, I would say Steelers as well. Mm. All right.
So those are the questions that you have that might need to be answered.
They need to be answered. They will be answered.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. Somebody said from the 8-2, I think Nick Chubb is going to have a big game against Pittsburgh. That would be great.
That would be a true difference maker.
Yeah. And it would kind of be coming out of left field because Nick Chubb has faded into the periphery. Not to say that he is not, when he's in there, he's not doing what you expect
of
him.
And his career kind of derailed from playing Pittsburgh. That's where he suffered his big injury.
That is a great point. So, yeah, he's got motivation, if nothing else.
Yeah, I hope so.
What if this ends up being the Nick Chubb game?
Oh, that would be the difference.
Would that surprise you?
One of the biggest.
Yes. Yes, it would. I would open it. Mm-hmm. I would be open to welcoming it. That'd be fantastic. And yeah, Nick, you could very much view it as Nick Chubb is due a game. So yeah, let's do it. Why not? I'd appreciate that quite a bit. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a wild card game day Monday. Coming up next, let's get our wild card game day lunchtime confessions next.
All right, I have a confession, but we got to play the audio first for those who may not have seen this, but making the rounds really everywhere is after the Bills and Jaguars game.
Wait, what happened in the Bills-Jaguars game?
The Jaguars lost. You just wanted to laugh.
Who was laughing?
Yeah. So Liam Cohen goes to the press availability. A lot of questions to be answered, right?
Sure. I mean, this is the end of their season.
End of the season.
End of his first season.
In the moment, post-game, you know, raw emotion, all that. And this happens.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate it.
You just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, so a couple things here.
You could hear his heart get three times bigger in that moment.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I was going to mention. He really appreciated that. It was very sweet on her part. I think her name is Lynn Jones.
It is Lynn Jones. My goodness. Where's the? I know her. Her outlet.
Been around for years.
Been there for
the
a long
Jacksonville
time.
Free Press.
Et cetera. I'm not saying it wasn't sweet. I'm saying it wasn't appreciated. No. Here's the first
part. About to jump in those arguments they have on social media.
Here's the first part of the confession. I could totally see that happening here. 100%.
You want to put a name on it?
Well, I mean, they have credentialed media that wear hats with bullhorns on them and sit in the stands at games. And
you had to put me out there like that. That's crazy.
The other thing is, it's also the era in which the times in which we live, you know, when credentialed media is not what it traditionally should be. So I get it. And I think it's sweet and good for her and all that. Here's what I'm saying. That is something you do with the subject, in this case, Liam Cohen, away from the press conference.
Yes.
I've done it myself. I've had some relationships with some players and coaches that I, you know, valued. I'm not going to say friends, but you value a relationship. So you talk to them afterwards about, you know, things like this or whatever. You do not do it in the press conference. You do not. I don't care who you are. I think it's a product of the era in which we live, the people they credential, and just really the sloppiness. It kind of reminded me, Figgy, you remember Melissa? You remember Melissa, the planted question for David Culley?
Yeah, ooh. This is 2021-ish.
Yeah.
It was the first year of David Culley.
Yes.
And we were all foaming at the mouth to try to get in this press conference,
yes.
which was via Zoom, by the way.
Yeah.
And people wanted to ask a question. A lot of the media people was in there trying to ask their question.
Yeah.
And then they go to a Texans fan.
Hi, Melissa.
By the name of Melissa.
And people didn't get questions answered legitimately because of it.
And I think that's the portion
Mark Berman
of it.
Was so mad.
He threw up his arms.
Yeah, that's the portion of it that I think, and media, we could be navel-gazy, and I know that people do not like that, and understandably so. I think that this ends up being a little navel-gazy, but there's actually a point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that you appreciate from your media is the opportunity to have these instances of access, and it's limited. It is not just you get to sit there and ask questions until you're done. They'll cut you off. And so any question that is not useful in that end ends up kind of being like, you know, a resource wasted of sorts. And so, yeah, I like you. I love the sentiment. And I don't think that her doing that was a bad thing. I kind of appreciated that she felt.
I thought it was sweet.
Because one of the things is she's also still speaking for a fan base, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was useful. Just can we do that right after?
Yeah, right
after. Can we do that right after he's done as he's stepping off?
Yeah.
And you can make that same effect. Now, of course, I guess it doesn't go to the masses in that moment.
Well, maybe it shouldn't. You know? Why are you bringing that attention to yourself? Just, you know, like I said, I've done it. I've gone, hey, man, you know, whatever. But you're taken away from the other people, and it's not what you're there for.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people who do not see it that way and are never going to see it that way.
Some people want more of that, according to some of the stuff I've been seeing.
Yeah. Especially because
they want the media to be more like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that also look at the media, and they're like, all these questions that you're asking are all useless. I think that for a lot of instances, they appear useless as a, I mean, when you're listening to the pressers as, I guess, content themselves, which I think that's also part of it. The pressers used to be, this was a closed thing for media, and then we got an idea, and I think it's a good thing to make them just like public, and I think that's changed the dynamic of them that changes the feel of it. But either way, I love her, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
She was sweet as pie.
Yeah.
I love her. I've got to admit, I don't think enough about something that I did on, was it Saturday? No.
Oh, what'd you do?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
This is getting good.
It was Saturday. I don't think enough
did
about
you go
doing
on a date?
It.
What'd you do Saturday, man?
I don't think enough about doing it, and I should.
Yeah.
I got myself on a Saturday, and I was a little hungry, and I was like, you know what? Let's go get some enchiladas. So I just went down. I went to a Mexican restaurant, sat at the bar, and I got myself a nice big margarita.
All right.
And some enchiladas, rice, beans.
Where'd you go? We went out to Mexican food Saturday.
Did you?
Night. Yeah.
Teotihuacan,
you know where I went.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where I went. I'll give it to you if I recall. But the reason why I bring this up in Confessions is clearly the Saturday night game was Packers and Bears. And that was on Amazon Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
It was not on the TV. But I still found fans of the Bears, three different Bears fans, all watching their phones at the bar.
Oh, nice.
And losing their minds. And I was like, oh, I'd be forgetting.
Oh, yeah, because it was early. They were getting killed.
It is so fun to watch other people's teams or watch them watch their teams, especially in public.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fun to watch them lose their minds, seeing people annoyed by these people over at the bar, making all this noise and doing all this hooting and hollering, clearly. Feeling good off of some margaritas. And I'm just sitting at the corner of the bar eating my margaritas, also watching the game, but quietly to the point where they don't know it.
Yeah.
And just, it's a second screen experience of sorts. Mm-hmm. It was a nice addition to what was the football game itself, was being able to see something. And then in some moments, I was slightly ahead, so I'd see a play and be like, okay, let me look over and see. Yeah, bear down! Bears! And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is fun. I love this, and I need to do this more often. So I need to find out where, like, the local bars are of some of these teams.
That's a good hobby to have.
And just going, like, oh, there's a big Sunday night game, and it's Bears-Packers?
Yeah.
Well, let me go over here and see how they're living. But I have to try and find a way to do it clandestine because I don't want to be involved in any of the conversations. It's just fun to watch.
So, the Houston Texans play tonight. I think, is this
is
the first
tonight?
Huh?
Nothing
else. Oh, no. So, I was getting that. They ain't play at their normal slot, which is the 3:30 on a Saturday slot. And I think a lot of people is happy about it. But I got to confess, man, I don't know how I feel about the Monday night slot in the wild card matchup, man. Man, I want to get the game going, man. I felt like we went the whole weekend with no games, And now it's like Monday night. Now I'm still waiting around on the game. I don't like the waiting around part, man. Mm-hmm. I originally didn't have an issue with the 3:30 slot.
Yeah.
Be honest, I was fine with it. Hey, stay low and build, man. It ain't got to be nothing national or anything like that. But man, at least on a Sunday, I would have been fine on a Sunday, but waiting all the way to Monday night, I'm just like, man,
I like it.
I don't really care for it like that, man.
Well, I guess that's why they call it confetti. I like the anticipation. You get to know where you are, who you're playing next, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I could have been cool with Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Sunday night I would have been fine with, but I feel like we went the whole weekend talking about everybody else still waiting around for our team.
I'm good with the Monday night. I feel like also I'm more good with the Monday night because of your matchup. Like if you had told me this was Texans-Bills or Texans-Jags Monday night, it would have been very uncomfortable. And you could call me whatever you want, but the prospect of everybody is watching this one game, it's the only one game, and tomorrow everybody's going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
When you have the possibility, a distinct possibility of it maybe not going the way you want, is not nearly as fun as, I feel pretty good about this game.
Yeah.
So come tomorrow, I think there's a 75% chance that everybody's just going to be talking about the Texans and how they did handle business and they beat up on the Steelers. I think that makes it a lot more palatable for me.
Man, stay low and build, man. We ain't got to be on the national spotlight, man. Just win these games.
Well, all of them are national spotlights. That's when we get
so
to the
playoff. So why everybody have a problem with the 3:30 Saturday spot then?
Yeah, because it's just like, because if you lose, you're like, well, that didn't
you're all national. Hey, let's do 3:30 on a Saturday then, man. Let's get it started.
I will say, when it did come out, I didn't like it, as Isaiah on the YouTube page is making mention of. It is a disadvantage for the next round. That is one fewer day that you have in a round that I imagine is actually going to be more of a test than this round.
Yeah.
Of course, assuming that you do the thing that we all believe them capable and the thing that they should do, which is win tonight. Now you have to turn over really quickly into that next matchup. At least now you know it's the Patriots. And I imagine that your front office is doing advanced scouting, but the coaches actually getting their hands on it, having one day fewer.
They don't want to.
Yeah, one day fewer is kind of uncomfortable. That is where the Saturday would have helped, is having maybe one day more to get yourself a little bit closer to it. But that's neither here nor there. Either way, Monday is what it is. Tonight, 7:15 here on Sports Radio 610. You hear the Texans try and start off a run towards the chip with a Monday night game versus the Steelers. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we will give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Automotive Show. But also, let's get some winners and losers of the weekend and what was a very fun weekend of things. Who won, who lost? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a wild card game day Monday here in the great city of Houston. Texans, 7:15 versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh. You can hear that, of course, here on Sports Radio 610.
What's on the menu?
What do you mean?
What are you going to eat? What are you going to be eating?
I do have an idea.
We got to have something special.
I ordered pizza yesterday. It's nothing special. I just ordered pizza yesterday, so I have the second half of my pizza.
No.
I got to get something else?
Get the hell out of here.
You paying?
No.
Sounds like I'm eating the second half of a pizza.
Playoff football? What are you going to be munching on?
I'm actually be in New Caney. I'm going to the food zone.
Nice.
I don't know if you've been out there.
I know where it is.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of food out there.
It's new, right?
It's newer. Yeah. That's a nice place. I went out there last week.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed. There's a bunch of food spots out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have my choice.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who are going to be out and about. Various different watch parties. Obviously, the Texans have the official watch party.
That one sold out.
Stadium.
Though.
Yeah. Sold out. Yeah. So. If you ain't make it there, you're not going to be able to make it.
You got to do something better than that, man.
But I have to keep it low key because I'm at the house.
I'm keeping it low key. I'm at the house.
That's what I said. Are you buying?
No.
Well, then I'm doing what I want to do.
I'm buying mine.
He's like, are you going to force me to go and get some, like, I don't know.
What are our listeners? How you gonna munch?
Yeah, well,
wait.
Hey, yo.
713-572-4610.
We will quickly get to winners.
I'm
going to
go old school, by the way.
What are you getting?
3 different kinds of wings.
Okay, classic.
Yeah, 3 new.
You can't get wrong.
Can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with that.
I can't do wings because I'm trying to be typing during the game.
So am I.
I'm taking notes.
None of your excuses.
You want me to do? How am I supposed to be typing on these laptops when I got like barbecue sauce?
What you plan on eating?
I got a roll of paper
pizza,
towels.
I told you.
You just put a roll of paper towels next to you, and have at it.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way. All right, winners and losers of the weekend. One, it feels like Tony Romo was a loser on the weekend. Well, didn't it?
Boy,
he was not good.
Repeatedly, it's one thing to have like a Romoism where you kind of scratch your head and you're like, what was that all about? But Awful Announcing put together a nice sort of, I guess, best of, worst of some of the things that he did. This was going to be one of my confessions. It's time, right?
Time for?
Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt to be the number one team.
You wouldn't hear me complain. I love listening to their calls.
I think it is. I think it's time.
Do you feel like they will probably try to replace Tony Romo before they put Jim Nance as number two?
Well, here's the thing. Jim Nance is going to replace, want to replace Tony Romo.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Because Jim Nance is not going to, he's going to.
He ain't going to settle for two.
They're going to take that number one spot from his cold, dead hands.
Yeah, they can do that. That's what I said. Yeah.
They could do that. Teams have done that before.
But Ian Eagle is good with J.J. Watt.
Speaking of teams doing that, the Fox team did that, obviously moving Greg Olsen back to a team and then bringing in Tom Brady to sit with Kevin Burkhardt. How'd you feel about Tom Brady? Tom Brady actually had a really good...
Oh, the football thing?
Yes. Yeah, Tom Brady's starting to find a little bit his. Actually, did I get audio here? I can't remember any of the stuff that I get audio for, Fig, but Tom Brady giving us a little bit of what I want when I have a former player. Give me some insight, Tom Brady. And this was Tom Brady doing so about throwing in the wind.
Which you see it, and I talk about the point of the ball a lot. You see it from, well, I'll start in this angle. This is kind of like a neutral plane. This is when the point is slightly down. When you're throwing into the wind, it has to be neutral. If the point of the ball is up, any wind friction is going to push that ball up over the top. So as a quarterback, you don't really like that you throw underneath because naturally that's going to point the tip of the ball up. You'd like more of a C or an inverse, a reverse C. That's how you kind of control the point of the ball, and then you can kind of just snap it off as you throw it. But in these windy conditions, you can't be underneath the ball. There's too much wind surface of the ball to knock it off its path.
I got to tell you, that was a science lesson.
There you go.
It absolutely was. And I watched this live, and I was obviously very impressed, but I was also like, how? How can you just do that?
And see, that's why they got Brady in the booth like that, man. Just that type of stuff you won't get from a Tony Romo.
Right. Yeah.
I like how you're doing this. Tony Romo don't know nothing about throwing no football.
Well,
I mean, you ain't gonna get that type of stuff.
No, and that's the thing that I think
you'll get Taylor Swift references and all that stuff.
Oh, Jim. Jim,
here we go.
It's like, hey, man.
When he says, here we go, I'm like, yes, we're all.
Oh, my God. Are you at the bar watching the game,
here
man?
Here we go.
I can't wait till he just starts dropping the things that we all drop in our living room. Like, oh, this is game here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a big third down.
He does do that. What do you mean? What
yeah.
That was the joke. That was the joke. Thank you, John Lopez.
Here we go.
Some other winners and losers of the weekend. How about this is a winner for the weekend? How about streaming audiences? Did you see this? Apparently, according to Peacock, they will be adding enhancements that may allow fans to mute announcers and control crowd noise. So the idea being that in the future, as they continue to have more live sports, they might be make it so that audiences can customize it to where if you just want to hear crowd noise or if you just want to hear what the sounds of the game are without announcers, that you might be able to turn that off.
I'm glad they're able to do this. I don't understand why you would want to do that.
Well, I think there's some instances. Like, take for instance, now they have a good booth in Sunday Night Football when they typically get to it with Tirico and Collinsworth, but someone might not like Collinsworth. Or maybe you want to mute that but put on, I don't know, Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware.
Yeah.
And so that would give you a little bit more leeway to do that. Or maybe you just want to experience the game without the analysis in the game. Although I think that does give you more information and set things up better.
I was thinking more of, and I do this far too often, where you're just looking for a game and you just click it, and then you realize it's the SkyCast.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the SkyCast so bad. They have the stadium announcer and just crowd noise. And every time I do it by accident, I'm like, who would want to watch a game like this? Like, just...
It's a great second or third screen, I'll tell you that for sure.
Why? Is it because of the camera angle? Is it a different camera
angle? Yeah, sometimes, like... Yeah. SkyCam in particular is great because you're getting something like an All-22 live.
I haven't really noticed it that much. But
when you're doing
like
a broadcast,
crowd noise and the stadium announcer.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Yeah. Who would like that?
But, sometimes when you get, like, the broadcast, you'll be like, oh, well, I don't know what was happening in coverage.
Yeah.
It's nice to then have another screen and be like, oh, okay, well, I can very much see what's happening with those. But you have to be a sicko to go to those.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I ain't going that deep.
First world problems right there.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Somebody said, when are we going to be able to link up radio call with TV broadcast? That's a good question. I think that we've seen that with MLS, seeing as they have one singular partner for the entirety of the league.
I think baseball do that, too.
baseball.
Baseball with
the MLB at bat or
I want to say is Apple TV.
But you
I think you
can
do that
pause.
With Apple TV.
You can also pause the audio and do it right now.
Do you agree with this from the 832? Somebody said someone knowing very well Tirico ain't the issue when it comes to the broadcast.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly. Sorry, I was reading that incorrectly. How about this? Did you get this audio of Bill Kennedy? Because I think a loser is NBA fans. Mm-hmm. Did you see that Bill Kennedy left a game with an injury? He's going to be out for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Bill Kennedy might be the most fun official on a broadcast.
His explanations.
Yes. If you had legitimately, there have been teams, coaches on the sideline that have stopped what they're doing in a huddle to see what Bill Kennedy's broadcast is going to be. This is one of Bill Kennedy's explanations of a challenge.
The play. The defensive player is still moving and makes contact prior to any movement by the offensive player's leg, resulting in the defensive foul being upheld, and the coach's challenge is unsuccessful.
He's so good.
He's dramatic.
He takes you through the whole.
You got to watch his face, too. He
and
looks
he
so sad.
He his eyebrows and turns his head. And
he's a thespian.
Unsuccessful.
He is a thespian. It is incredible. Mm-hmm. But then he also does the thing where if he knows he's about to get a rise out of the crowd, he's like, I'll hold off this information.
Yes.
You know, well.
You remember that one time somebody walked past the camera and he stopped and looked.
As if to say, how dare you get in front of my
Wait
camera?
Wait a minute.
The call is unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. However, and you're like, whoa!
Wait a minute. We have a twist.
So shout out to Bill Kennedy. Yeah. Quick recovery to you. How about this? A winner. The University of Texas transfer business. Have you seen this?
Yeah, they got Coleman.
They got wide receiver Coleman. What is his first name? Because I immediately forgot it as soon as I wanted to go to it. Cam Coleman, who was previously at Auburn. They added Hollywood Smothers, a running back, to Relik Brown. Mm-hmm. Ryan Wingo, obviously, is who they have as well. Like, they've just added a whole bunch of pieces in the transfer window. And they are a winner, but also in a way, Steve Sarkisian is a little bit of a loser in this, in that you have no more excuses, big fella.
No, none. Red zone, you got two receivers now, Arch with another year under his belt. You've got all these weapons, new running back to complement the backfield. No, he is clean out.
Yes.
He is clean out of excuses.
How's that A&M been doing?
Excellent. Like, they got the receiver from Alabama.
Yes, they did. Right.
Forget his name.
I've forgotten about that.
Three defensive linemen, three offensive linemen. No, I think if you look at the NIL rankings, not to dump a bucket of cold water on your University of Texas, I love the Longhorns take, but I think the Aggies.
I love the Longhorns take.
I think the Aggies NIL transfer ranking is actually higher.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. So shout out to the entirety of Texas coming out pretty well there. Some other winners and losers right here. How about Paul Feinbaum?
Oh, he's gone. He gone.
Paul Feinbaum, if you didn't know, Indiana beat the ever-living cuss word out of Oregon on Friday night, and they look like flatly the best team in the country. We could talk about that more tomorrow, but with that being the case, a couple of things are happening. You have a Big Ten Indiana team versus an ACC Miami team. Mm-hmm. You have two Adidas schools this is the first Adidas outfit in national, you're guaranteed a first Adidas outfit in national champion in college football playoff history.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Paul Feinbaum, if you go back, had promised that, well, I'll let him tell it. Paul, how do you feel about what's going to happen in the national championship?
Who's going to win the national championship, and is it going to be an SEC team?
It is. And by the way, if it's not, I'm leaving the country because I am so sick and tired of being harassed by Big Ten fans on our show. The Big Ten has literally done nothing. They won two national championships. Michigan won one 2 years ago. They won 1.5 national championships, I think, before that in 70 years, and they act like they invented football. Alabama has won about 15 national championships in my lifetime. Now, I realize that's not a good comparison to a realistic lifespan, but I believe Texas is going to win. I didn't mean to avoid your question. It's going to end all this, and on January 20th, I'll be the happiest man in America because I won't have to listen to the Big Teners, or as my callers call them, the Little Teners.
Well, so where do you think he's going?
Well, what's the best place to live if you have to live out of the country? I'm guessing it's got to be mostly an English-speaking language. I don't know how he is on foreign language.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know how well he is. And then probably
I'm going to send him up to North Korea.
All right.
Being real.
He's sent to North Korea.
You can go
South
up there.
Korea. North Korea.
To
make it real.
Now going up there.
Punishing him for his crimes.
Good luck watching the SEC up there.
See if you can find a signal.
Not only is the SEC not going to win the national championship this year, they just have been getting absolute drubbed in bowl season. But yeah, what a fantastic championship game that we have set up for us. And shout out to Adidas and shout out to everybody except for Paul Feinbaum, whose SEC love did not pay him off this year round.
I think he kind of strikes me as a Scandinavian guy. Maybe go to Denmark, Norway.
Okay, all right.
Somewhere in there.
Y'all did
Norway and Sweden. Yeah.
Y'all did Norway and Sweden. Sweden. Yeah. So yeah,
send them to Iraq, Pakistan.
He can't go to Iran. They don't have an internet signal.
Well,
good.
Current events.
Good. Yeah.
All right. So there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. How about we give something away? Would you like to go to the Houston Automotive Show? Because if you do, you and three of your friends could do that. Just for free. All you got to do is be caller number 7 right now, 713-572-4610, and you will win a 4-pack tickets to see the Houston Automotive Show. What is that? What day is that there? Or when does the Automotive Show start?
It's the end of the month. End of this month, yeah.
Yeah, so be caller number 7 right now, and for the next couple of weeks, we'll be giving those away right here on Sports Radio 610. Call number 7, 713-572-4610. But coming up next, you know what time it is. It is time for us to figure out the biggest matchups, the biggest things that will factor into whether or not the Texans get this victory to finish out wild card weekend. Texans win because, Texans lose because. 713-572-4610. Give your answers. We'll talk about it next.